Earth and Sky.
Personally, I'm interested in ways of overcoming technology barriers and making this type of data useful and usable to a wide range of users. That's something that really interests me.
You're listening to Diane Davies at the University of Maryland, and this is Earth Sky's Clear Voices for Science. Davies has helped create a global fire alert system that detects wildfires from space, then sends land managers this urgent information in an email or text message. Earth Sky's Lindsay Patterson spoke to Dr. Davies.
You're using a satellite to study wildfires on Earth, and how many large wildfires are happening on Earth in any given time, and has that number been increasing in recent years?
Well, globally, July, August, and September are peak fire months, and we would estimate that during this peak period, there are approximately 6,000 fires detected a day using the Terra satellite. And February seems to have the least number of detected fires, and on average, we detect approximately 3,000 a day. In terms of whether fires are increasing, fire detections from the Terra satellite only go back to 2000, so this is too short a time period, really, to make any assumptions on long-term trends using this data. However, there are a number of other studies which conclude that in many parts of the world, the duration and intensity of wildfires is increasing. And this is really thought to be related to climate change and to land use policies.
So what does it mean to manage a wildfire?
Well, managing a wildfire will really vary according to land management goals. For example, with the ongoing wildfires in California, fire management means containing and extinguishing fires as quickly as possible to avoid loss of life and loss of homes. In other parts of the world, particularly where fire is an important natural ecosystem process, managers may allow fires to burn as long as they don't get out of control and encroach into areas of high value, such as residential areas or natural resources with a high economic value. And it is important to mention that fires are a very important land management tool, and in many parts of the world, it's still widely used for pasture management, for clearing land, for burning agricultural residues. And there is an associated risk of these fires getting out of control and damaging natural resources. And so quite often, that's really where we come in. We're trying to let people know about fires, particularly fires that perhaps have got out of control. And being aware of such fires in near real time can help managers allocate their resources and take appropriate action.
Why has it been a problem to detect fires in protected areas?
Most fires are detected by people, Most fires are noticed by people. But often in protected areas, there are relatively few people. And so fires, there can be large areas and fires can go undetected. And this can be a problem, particularly in large remote areas, where a manager of a protected area might not find out about a fire until it's very big, or it's already done a significant amount of damage. And it is possible to look for fires in other ways on the ground, for example, using fire towers or also using ground patrols or airplanes to look for fires. But these options are expensive, and they can use up precious resources. So early notification of fires using satellite data can help managers allocate their limited resources more efficiently.
How did this idea of a fire alert system come about then?
Well, the original idea came from a partnership with Conservation International. So they were aware of our web mapping service, and they asked us to help develop an email alert system for Madagascar. And the system was so popular that we expanded the service to several other countries, and now we provide a global coverage. The email alerts can be tailored to meet particular needs. A user can select their area of interest using an interactive map, or they can choose a protected area from a drop-down list. And they can also choose to receive their message in a number of different formats. It can either be just a text file, or it can have a map embedded in it showing the locations of fires. And it can also have an attachment, a file showing the coordinates of the fires and some information about those fires. And then they can take that information into their own desktop mapping system. I should also mention that we took this one step further, and in South Africa, we've made the alerts available as cell phone text messages.
So what do the maps and text messages look like, and how are they interpreted by people?
So the embedded maps, it will be a map of their area of interest, so usually a protected area with red dots for where the fires are. And then underneath that, there will be the lat and long coordinates of the fires. Sometimes the information will be the first time that a protected area manager has heard about fires in their area of interest. We had one really nice example of this from the Chiquibor National Park in Belize. They started using our service in 2007, And they were notified of fires in the southern portion of the park. And they followed this up. They weren't expecting to have fires there, and so they followed it up with ground and air reconnaissance missions to find that previously unknown to park management, there had been large incursions into the park from Guatemalan farmers, and more than 100 hectares of forest had been cleared for farming. And the fires detected from ferns showed that there was more clearing taking place that year. So as a direct result of our system, then they've put in new measures to protect that tropical forest from destruction.
So it goes beyond the fires?
It does go beyond the fire, and the fire is just one of the things that they do. But what we've tried to do is we've tried to overcome what we call the digital divide and make this data even more accessible to people. So by making it available in a number of different formats, through the web mapping services, through Google Earth, through NASA Worldwind, through the email alerts, through the cell phone text messages, we've managed to make this data available to a much wider audience.
So what is the next step for the fire alert system, and are there ways to improve it?
There are lots of things we'd like to do. We'd like to include data from other satellites. There are other satellites, geostationary satellites, which we could include fire data from those. We'd also, Conservation International are also very keen on providing an illegal logging alert. So, for example, using the active fire data, it could trigger a need to get high-resolution data, and we could look to see if illegal logging is taking place. Another thing that we would really like to do is the cell phone text messaging service that we provide in South Africa. We would love to expand that to protected areas everywhere. So that's really a funding issue, and that's something that we would very much like to do, because I think that in a lot of remote protected areas, the internet access still isn't very good. So even though getting a message by email is much more efficient than having to log onto the internet, getting a message by a cell phone text message is much easier still, and that means that people don't even have to go back to their office. So that's something that we would really like to do.
So why do you like this work, and what meaning does it have for you personally?
Well, I used to work in a protected area some time ago in Namibia, and we had a satellite receiving station, and I know how long it takes to process these data and get it from a raw form into something that's useful for park managers. So when the technology came along to be able to produce this data globally in very short time and make it available to people, then I was very excited by it.
You've been listening to Diane Davies of the University of Maryland. Our thanks today to NASA's Terra Mission, helping us better understand and protect our home planet. To subscribe to this and other free science podcasts, visit the subscribe page at earthsky.org. I'm Jorge Salazar for Earth Skies, Clear Voices for Science.
We're at earthsky.org.